Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Flag. Red, white, and blue. All right. There's a lot happening. We got a football team with an average record. They may be average. They may be a little above average. They may be bad. I remember the 2012 Eagles started out 3-1 and finished 4-12. Remember that? The Giants missed a field goal at the very end of the game. The Eagles got to 3-1, didn't win a game for like 2.5 months. Remember that?
Yeah, that was incredible. I want to say what? 10 straight weeks of fire, Andy? Nine straight weeks.
I would say after a week or two.
That's what I mean. Yes. I'm saying once it was like 3-3, 3-4, yeah. Whatever, it was nonstop. The rest of the season, all we talked about fire Andy.
Now, I will say this. Lurie, with Andy Reid's accomplishments here, wasn't going to do that, particularly because Andy's son had just died.
Oh, I get it.
Different than Sirianni.
No, it's different, but I'm just saying, do you remember the tenor? That's all we talked about.
I do. Reid, do you think Lurie would fire Nick in this season? Do you think it's on the table realistically in Jeffrey Lurie's mind?
I do. I think it's on the table. And I'd lead it all, but like, I didn't think so because you had asked that question yesterday and I said no. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the Jalen Hurts, We Have Our Moments, and I'm going, it's less about Sirianni and it's more about Jalen Hurts for me because the comments showed, that comment to me shows that relationship has not been repaired. Nick goes out of his way time and time again to praise Jalen. The turnovers, we turn over as a team. I mean, he's like hurting himself. And this guy can't give a simple answer to buy messaging. So, I mean, it to me, I just don't see that relationship recovering.
So I'm curious from your standpoint. Yeah. So do you read that as, I mean, obviously that doesn't speak well to Hurts. But are you saying that you give Sirianni more grace because Hurts is difficult? Or do you say, Sirianni's not getting through to him. I got to remove him. Even if Hurts is difficult, it's his job to get through.
Yes. I give Sirianni a little bit more grace.
So one, you give him more grace because you think Hurts is basically a strange dude.
Well,
and
anytime you talk to him, he comes, you know, you can't get an answer out of him.
Well, I will
me crazy.
I don't know what coach would be kumbaya with Jalen Hurts. I mean, it just feels... I don't know.
I just think that's
a
problem.
You don't know what coach would be kumbaya with Jalen Hurts.
I just don't think the guy's a person
We were saying he was Captain Intangible for the first several years.
Said that about Carson.
He was Captain Intangible.
Carson changed.
He said all the right things.
Or we misread it.
I think it's possible, Joe.
Man, come on, we do misread
that. He has changed. I think it's possible that the money has changed
totally
him.
Possible.
I think it's possible that the fame has changed him. I think we haven't really delved into that because, I don't know, maybe it's...
Well, it's unprovable, but we wonder it.
Right.
Yeah.
But we don't really talk about it. I think it seems sort of... Well, when you've got answers like We Have Our Moments...
it's insane.
It feels like you're acting a little entitled, Jalen.
I
am worried that the contract has changed the way you approach your teammates, your coaches, football. Like, that is the biggest problem at hand.
All right, look, let's go. I actually think the biggest problem is just his play on the field, but I think the off-the-field stuff is another issue. All right, so where you stand on Sirianni, would you fire him or not? If they're going to do it in the bye week, this would probably be the day. I mean, they didn't do it yesterday. 70, let's see my percentage. 63% of people said yes, they should fire him this week. Are you a yes or are you a no? Why or why not? And if you're a no, how close are you to firing Sirianni? Let's go to John in Manayunk. John, you're on WIP. What's up, dude?
What's up, Joe? First and foremost, I'm going to rapid fire through a lot of stuff. Rip to the Hit King. You know, I've always said the Hall of Fame should be a museum of history, so you should have the steroid era in a wing and talk about the steroid era. You should talk about Pete Rose. He should absolutely be in there, but throw in his transgressions and educate the kids 150 years from now about who he was. I think that's really what it should be about. Secondly, the Diamondbacks are knocked out. That makes me feel happy. Thirdly,
Let me just say this before you move to three. Yeah. Let me tell you what did not make me happy yesterday in baseball, and I shudder with concern. The Mets fans were a massive part of the Braves ballpark experience yesterday.
That was amazing.
And I'm telling you guys, if the Mets and Phillies play here, I don't care how passionate we are, those stinking Mets people are going to find a way to get 5 to 13,000 in our ballpark. They are. Because they have a lot of money, and they have more people. And it's not far.
And it's cheaper to come here than it probably
is
cheaper, to go
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, just like the next thing. Like, just brace yourself. Like, it'll be Red October with a lot of blue and orange mixed in.
I don't think it'll be as much. Think it'll be as much as you think. I mean, the Citizens Bank tickets were not cheap. Like, there was a difference. Those Sixers
minimum
tickets were way cheaper than the Phillies tickets.
Minimum. 5,000.
I think 5,000. So
minimum.
I think it's going to be it'd be around 5,000. I don't know. I think it's somewhere in that range.
All right, John, give me point number three.
You actually want to? Go ahead.
Well, no. I was just point number three is that the Birds just aren't that good, and I don't care what anybody says. I know I'm just John from Maine, just some guy. But before Derek Gunn ever said it, I'm friends with one of the coaches, and I know for a fact it's the money, and he became a jerk. And I know that's what it is.
So you're talking about your friend who's a coach, or you're talking about Hurts?
John.
No, I'm talking about Hurts.
Seriously?
He changed around the place when he got the big money. And I just and that's not, he's not even the, he wouldn't even been the 10,000th person.
That John, let me say this. You're not the first person I've heard that from.
Correct.
Yeah. Same.
All right?
Yeah. Same.
All right?
So that's the third thing. Now, here's the other thing, too, Joe. You were saying how you feel guilty about maybe how you felt about Howie for a couple years there because he pulled out. I'm sorry. I've been critical of Howie for 10 years, and I don't feel guilty about it at all. I will say this wholeheartedly, and people forget, and they don't want to know this. There's a reason Chip Kelly's out of the league. He wasn't good. He drafted Lane Johnson. He drafted Zach Ertz. We don't win the Super Bowl without Chip Kelly's picks. Howie fell into that one. He was here 10 years before that. He was whispering in Lurie's ear during the Dream Team year. He's been here longer than almost any GM in the entire league. He has one Super Bowl. The rain dance always works because people dance until it rains, dude. It's just going to walk.
Well, I think
he's overrated GM. I think he's made so many more bad picks than good. And everyone wants to credit him with Carson. And, Carson was MVP there, got the Super Bowl. Either Carson stinks or he doesn't. It was either a bad pick or it wasn't.
Well, it was a great
lightning
it was,
in a bottle.
All right, John. A lot of good stuff in there. I mean, I agree with some, disagree with others. Look, I think Howie nets out much more positive than negative. Yes, his picks haven't been great. I think we all know it's the weakest part of his resume. I think for the most part, his free agent signings have been good, although not this year. His trades have been great.
Other than in-season trades.
Yeah, although Jay Ajayi was sweet.
Other than Jay Ajayi, but every other one, Jannard Avery, Robert Quinn, whoever was last year was it didn't work out.
Right,
Kevin Byard, like none of these work.
Let's listen. They haven't. The guy from the Bears a couple years ago was a fiasco.
Yeah, Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
That guy was awful.
God.
All right, Seth Joyner, speaking of defense, let's listen to Seth yesterday, passionate, talking about the Birds defense. I would contend there are only four players on this defense who actually deserve to be NFL starters. And it's the two cornerbacks, it's Jalen Carter, and it's Gardner Johnson, who's teetering, but, like, I'm not going to kick him off a starting team. Am I wrong? Is it only four? Like,
no.
Is Reed Blankenship really a starting safety? Is N'Kobe Dean really a starting linebacker?
Well, don't get me started on him. You go to my Twitter feed, you'll understand how I feel about him.
What about Zach Bond?
No, listen, they've got some players. You know what the Eagles' problem is, Joe? Their problem is Howie has not constructed a defense that has any playmakers on it. None. Think about it. Who makes a play? And I would tell you.
Slay is supposed to.
No,
supposed to be Jalen Carter
and Slay. No. Don't talk to me about Slay. Okay?
Uh-oh.
Do not talk to me about
You're
Slay.
You're mad
Why?
At Slay?
Go ahead.
Come on, man. You got to see it. Ray Charles and Jose Feliciano can see it. Okay? You can see it.
All right. So Seth is, as Al Pacino would say, just get warmed up. Because then Seth started laying the hammer down.
What you can do at all times, and I used to teach this, you know, to my little peewee kids. There are players that are going to be better than you, bigger, faster, stronger. Some even smarter. But the one thing we all got to give in abundance is effort. Don't ever let me have to coach you about effort. You're here. You practice. We run. You hurt. You the whole thing. If you're here because you want to be here, then give the effort.
You think Slay's not picking?
Not giving the effort at all. I watch him play, and he doesn't want to tackle anybody. You can come to me. You can come at me on Twitter all you want, Darius Slay. But I watch you play, and you want no action whatsoever. If you can't push a guy out of bounds or you can't trip him up, you don't want any part of that. And you can't play football defensively and be successful that way.
Listen, that's one of many reasons why we love having Seth Joyner on the show every Monday from 9 to 10. I mean, John, he doesn't hold back. And he
lackadaisical. Yeah. I mean, we're talking all the time about the off and soft approach by our DBs. It just looked no farther than Darius Slay. His approach was just nowhere close to intense enough. Let's put it that way.
I will say this, though, on off and soft. I do think there's probably a strategy for Fangio to believe the front four is not going to get there, and so they do want to protect the corners. That's a long time
to
defend.
The strategy wasn't also to be 10 yards off them the entire game either. I mean, they were killing them.
I mean, the D-line's got to get there or the corners aren't going
to
hold up
but
at all.
But you also have to realize you weren't getting to – Baker was getting that ball off,
I know.
As they said, faster than anybody else in the league on Sunday.
I know.
So why are you also giving these guys room to run?
I get it. It is a complicated thing. All right. Ron Jaworski joins us in 5 minutes. Man, is there a lot to talk to Jaws about? You know, this season, it has been a disappointment so far. Now, look, with the three wild cards, you know, you're in it for a long time. Unless Jaden Daniels runs away with the division, then, you know, the Eagles should be in it for a while. But we'll see. They got to play better football on both sides of the ball. And if they don't have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, if that ever happens again, then they got to know they got to play different style. You know, I mean, come on, this isn't that complicated. If you got some running backs, run the football more and do some stuff differently. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Reminder that Thursday we are going to be at Cheeky's and Pete's, South Philadelphia. It's a big special WIP broadcast for 12 hours as we celebrate the return of Red October. Phillies obviously start the playoffs on Saturday. Game one, time undetermined here. I would guess, just James, some of you agree with this. In the early rounds, this is the early round, what starts today, but in the round the Phillies will play in the NLDS, the first round they'll play in, nighttime games because national TV is going to want Philadelphia in nighttime games, true or false?
I think so. The only caveat is the Dodgers being the other, so there's the West Coast games at the same time, so
Phillies
are
going to get the early game.
I don't know how late they'll go, but we said that last year, and they put the Phillies late and a West Coast game at 5, so I don't know for sure, but that is a caveat to it. I do think they want Citizens Bank Park in primetime as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. If LA has a game that's 5:40 our time, that's 2:40 their time,
exactly,
that's fine.
And they don't,
an afternoon game for them.
Yeah.
All right, we'll say.
Saturday, I guess.
We'll say. All right, well, just know, Thursday, huge show. By the way, welcome to Red October, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's, you know, October right now, October 1st. Special show on Thursday. We're going to mix in a lot of guests. We're also going to have a station announcement at 8:40. And we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, 1526 Packer Avenue in South Philly for three different shows. Ours, Joe and Hugh, and then Spike and Ike and Jack. So it should be quite a day. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest, Ron Jaworski, the maestro of the telestrator, the quarterback play, the passion for Eagles football, and he joins our show every single Tuesday at this time. Good morning, Jaws.
Good morning, Joe. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good, buddy. Jaws, we're doing well. There's a lot happening. You know, Jaws, before we go Eagles, and we want to do that heavy, I know you knew Pete Rose. I know you know him pretty well. Can you give us, from your perspective, your thoughts on the passing of Pete and, you know, obviously a consequential and controversial career and just your thoughts on the man you knew?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Joe. I had it on top of my list to, you know, really send my condolences out to the Rose family and anyone associated with Pete Rose. He was a very special guy, and to a certain degree, you know, I'm obviously very sad and heartbroken. I got to know him very well, as you just said, when he came to Philadelphia. Some people may not remember, you know, Veterans Stadium. You know, we shared basically the same locker facility, shower facility, steam sauna. So I would see when our seasons overlapped, I would see Pete literally every day. He was just he was always early. He was always working out. He was just an amazing guy. He brought a tremendous energy you know, obviously playing with the Phillies, but he was in our locker room half the time as well.
Was he a football fan, Josh?
Was he a football fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
He had that offensive lineman mentality, you know. He was just a fun guy to be around. In fact, I was with him in Vegas in the Super Bowl this past year, and sadly, the last time I've seen him. But he just brought a great energy, a great passion. Yeah, maybe there's a lot of checkered history to what he's done. But, man, as far as a passion for the game, to me, arguably, the greatest player that for a long period of time I saw play and got to know. I had incredible respect for what he accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was incredibly accomplished. Would you say, Jaws, because my sense of being around him a couple times was fascinating, smart in many ways, unwise in many ways, and kind of crude. Is that a fair way to just kind of encapsulate aspects of his personality?
I think he did a very good job. I think crude is kind of the way that Pete was. That's the way he was. He wasn't an educated guy. He was a straight baseball guy. He just loved baseball. It's all he wanted to do was play baseball. So he wasn't an articulate guy, but when it came to getting on the diamond, there were none better.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't the greatest player in baseball, but he was for a long time the biggest star in baseball. He was a true superstar in baseball.
Well, when he came to Philly, he brought that energy. The Phillies were a really good team. Late 70s, early 80s. But when he came there, man, they became a great team.
Yes, they did.
Brought that energy, and he didn't take loafing. He didn't take any of that crap that you see sometimes guys get away with nowadays. I mean, Pete would call people out. He'd let them know, hey, this is how we don't play the game that way. We give 110% every single time we're at the plate in the field. That's how he was. And everything he did, he gave everything he had.
He sure did. All right, Charles, let's get to the Eagles. So, I mean, a very disappointing September. Can you put into words what you're feeling this morning about our football team?
Well, I've calmed down, so thank goodness. After that performance on Sunday, I was obviously very disappointed. In fact, before we went in here for the post game show, I wanted to be calculated in what I said, and then I wrote three words down. I said, "Who are we? Who are we?" And here we are after four games. Who are we? And no, I couldn't figure out who this team is. How we're going to play offense? How we're going to play defense? And I've always been a believer. In fact, we talked about this last week. I said, let four games play out. You kind of get a template of a team and what their strengths and weaknesses are and what they're going to be after four games, not one, two, or three. But after four, you usually get a pretty good idea. I still don't know, offensively or defensively, what this team is, how we're going to play defense, how we're going to play offense. I just don't know. And that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. I hate to say that, because I have great respect for the coaching staff and the players, but who are we? Then they got to figure it out fast, or it could be a disastrous season.
How good was Baker Mayfield? Why doesn't the pass rush get home?
Well, it was a great game plan. That's the one thing they did, is they got the ball out of Baker's hand. I mean, it was 1.5 seconds, ball was out. When they took their shots, they gave him strong protection. So it's a formula, John, that we've seen through the years. When you're going to use the quick passing game, you're in a rush to get all your receivers out, get five receivers out, and let the quarterback make decisions quickly. When you're going to throw the ball down the field, go max pro, or at least think protection first and allow the receivers to work down the field. It was an old-school game plan, but Todd Bowles is an old-school kind of coach. That's just the way he is. He believes in the fundamentals of the game. He'll trick you with his defense, but offensively he knows what he wants to do. But Baker Mayfield was, I thought, just phenomenal. Their offensive line was much better than I saw the week before. Of course, when you get the ball out in 1.5 seconds, you don't have to block very long. At times, sometimes our defense line wasn't even out of their stance. The ball was out of his hand.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's how quick they got rid of the ball. So they just had a good beat on what our defense wanted to do. And, you know, you've heard it all the last couple of days. It was one of the poorest tackling performances I've seen ever in pro football. It was just bad tackling, and you can't accept that. Now, the problem you have is in today's NFL, you can't practice tackling anymore because, you know, you can't wear pads as much anymore. Right. You wear T-shirts and shorts when you're mostly at practice, so you can't practice tackling.
Jaws, why is it that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were good at tackling?
Because they probably accentuated in practice and in training camp, you know, when you can do things, when you can wear pads. But, you know, sometimes you build your team around guys that can tackle as well. You know, very infrequently around draft time do we hear people talk about, this guy's a great tackler in space.
You're right.
You know, do we talk about tackling? No, we talk about
never.
His speed, his agility, his hands, yeah. all that.
Right.
All that stuff that's important. But do we very seldom say, boy, you get this guy one-on-one, he's gonna be a drag-down tackler. He's
sure.
going to make a tackle in space. They do that in Tampa. They make tackles in space
yeah.
and normally don't give up explosive plays.
So what do we need to do to actually sack people ourselves?
How do we get to sack people?
Yeah. can I answer the question, Jaws? You ready?
I got change
players.
I want to hear a lot.
Other than Brandon Graham, swap out.
Sort of feels like that
Brandon
might
Graham
be the unfortunate answer.
Overall, you know, our best defensive player right now, and I'm not talking about just pass rush and run defense, but his leadership is just impeccable. You know, Brandon Graham, sign him for another year because his leadership is strongly needed on that side of the football.
But, crazy.
Again, you know, we talked about Jalen Carter last week. What a great game he had. You know, down in New Orleans, all of a sudden, he kind of shows up with a mediocre game.
Totally.
And great defenses don't play that way. You know, you every snap you get, if it's 40, if it's 50, if it's 60, you know, you got to be ready to give all you have to give. And I see the inconsistency in our young, talented players. And
yeah.
Got to find a way to motivate these guys or play them less snaps and keep them fresh. But you can't go from a great game and dominate the week before to not showing up the next week.
Yeah, speaking of young players taking a step back, Jaws, why did it look like Jalen, with his pocket awareness, looked worse this week?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Out of four games, he's had two poor games. The Green Bay game, the opener, was a down game, and this is a down game this week. He's had two solid games in between. But, you know, But I think Tom Brady said it a number of times, and it's something we've been talking about for a long time here in Philadelphia because we see it every week, and Tom doesn't see him every week. Is, you know, he's got to speed up his game. He's got to speed up the reading and defense process, and the coaching staff has to help him speed up that process with play design.
Sure.
So it's just a part of his game right now. It should be better after 5 years in this league. He's got all the God-given talent in the world to be, you know, a great quarterback in this league. But the offensive system must set him up for success, and he must understand he got to pick up his tempo and get the ball out of his hand quicker.
How was the pass protection in this game?
Well, you know, I thought for the most part pass protection was good. But when you hold on to the ball, it's going to look bad because sacks happen then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just the way it is. I think the offensive line is still one of the best in the National Football League. I thought Dallas Goedert had a big game. And by the way, I didn't think the new guys this week had poor games. I think there were opportunities for them. When I looked, got through the All 22, I did see some open receivers. I did see these guys, you know, open in space. So now we could say, yeah, we got to get AJ and Devontae back. No kidding. We know that they're great receivers. But I thought the guys that played did a pretty decent job. There were some opportunities to get him the football.
Jaws, you know, we had a poll yesterday. 63% of people want Sirianni fired this week. Now, I wouldn't do it. I don't think the Eagles are going to do it. If they don't do it today, he's going to survive the bye week. But here's my question to you. In pro football, part of the reason I wouldn't do it is because of how complicated strategy is in football. It's not like baseball. It's not like Rob Thompson taking over for Girardi. It's a different animal. Can you put into perspective for our listeners, if a head coach is fired in pro football, how difficult is it to be better than worse, even if you haven't been good enough up until that point?
Well, first of all, I don't think Nick Sirianni deserves to be fired. I think he's a damn good football coach. They're in a slump right now. I'm not going to deny that in a lot of different ways. But, you know, you don't have the record Nick has had since he's been here. He's been here in a short period of time. He's a winning coach. He's taken the team to the Super Bowl. He knows how to coach. You know, so I'm not questioning that at all. I'm questioning the team preparation. Now, I'm not there every day, so I don't know what they go through. But I know a lot of players in this team. I know a lot of coaches on this team. And all of them really respect and like Nick Sirianni. So, you know, we as fans overreact to everything. It's just how we are. It's an overreaction after every single game, good or bad. We beat New Orleans. We're going to the Super Bowl. We lose to Tampa Bay. We fire the coach. It's just who we are in Philadelphia. That's why it makes it so interesting and reason we like Philadelphia because it's the way it is. There's an unbelievable passion for this team, and it's phenomenal, and that's the part we love about it. But I think there's some areas we got to get better. But yeah. And I'm sure Nick will address those areas. I'm sure he'll have his meetings with Jeffrey and Howie, and they'll work through some of these things. But I am not in that group that wants a new coach. You bring a new coach here, what are you going to do? It's crazy to think that this team has a good system. It's got good players. Give Nick Sirianni time to work it out.
I will say this, Jaws. The coach and quarterback, though, better both pick it up quick or they're not going to be here long.
Yeah, you know, I think Jalen is my concern because, you know, that guy's got unbelievable talent. And for some reason, there's just a demeanor about him right now that I don't know, makes me think there's something going on. And maybe I'm seeing something that's not there, but he's not playing up to the ability we know he can play. 2 years ago, he was a top three quarterback. Now he's probably not. He's probably a middle of the pack quarterback based on performance. And we'll see when AJ come back. We'll see when Devontae come back if he can get back. But you know, I think the weapons of this offense are some of the best in the National Football League. Now we'll see if Jalen can lead them.
All right, Jaws, stay well, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jaws.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Bills.
All right, there he is, Ron Jaworski. All right, let's go to the phones. Nick Sirianni today at 8:40 on the program. Brandon Graham in studio with us coming up in 10 minutes. Also, more on Dikembe and Pete Rose coming up shortly. Phone calls on all of this. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
What up, Joe? Hey, what's going on, morning team? How you doing today?
Hi, Chuck.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to disagree with Joe real quick, right? Hey, you said yesterday, right, Joe, when I called you, that we need better players on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I think they have good players on defense. Not great players.
Not
good,
enough.
Good players on defense. Listen, they got, what do you want? I mean,
what do I want? I want better players.
Listen,
how's that for an answer?
The coach has to put them in a better position, man. You know, you got first-round draft picks on the line. You got a guy you paid $50 million to. You got a press corner that you drafted that you're not using in the right position. You know, you got a proven guy that played nickel, but he's on the bench in Cooper DeJean in college. So the coach is not doing what he's supposed to do.
Well, to be fair, DeJean got set back by the injury in camp. I think he could be in there soon. Look,
I think it's only a matter
Avante
of time.
Avante has to go.
Needs, yes.
And I love Avante. Great
and
guy.
This is the
solid
perfect
Eagle.
Moment.
Probably
going
done.
Coming out of the bye, you got a couple weeks to get whoever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Cooper. Maybe it's one of the other young players. I expect a new nickel when we emerge.
Yeah, but Chuck, you're not going to convince me it's Sirianni's fault that Josh Sweat,
I'm not saying
that
Sirianni.
Bryce Huff, that Nolan Smith.
I didn't say Sirianni. Okay. I said Vic Fangio, the guy that you guys, you know, the godfather. Everybody deems the godfather. Fangio, yeah, him, the guy that sits in the press box. He's the defensive coordinator, right? Well, you got to start picking your guys in better position to win, and he's not doing that, man. You know what I mean? Jim Johnson didn't have, he had great talent.
Oh,
but,
Chuck.
You know, he didn't
love
have
Jim Johnson, but he had players, man. Come on.
No. Jim Johnson had a scheme, too, that worked.
He did. He had a scheme.
To the player's strengths. That's what Jim Johnson had. You know what I mean? We didn't have all pro players all over the defense, but he worked with what he had. I mean, Dawkins was a great player. Troy Vincent was a great player, but he did it even with Lito Shepard and Sheldon.
Well, you're acting like those guys stunk. Those guys were above average.
My God, they were a great defensive team.
Chuck, plus you got Hugh, you got Corey Simon, you got Trott. There was the year you had Sean Barber. I mean, come on. That's crazy talk. All right, but Jim Johnson was the man. All right, 215-592-9494.
He did used to drive us crazy sometimes with it, you know, because his whole thing was, you know, Ben, but you know, you can get up to the 20, but you're not
Jim
getting...
Jim Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it works.
But no, it works.
Whatever good defensive coordinator
yeah.
does,
oh, yeah,
pretty
no, but
much,
I mean,
yeah.
it did used to, you know, in between the 20s, you would be watching the game going, oh, no, my
I
God.
I remember it. I remember it well. All right, so Dikembe and Pete Rose, let's address this, because these are some pretty significant deaths yesterday and very consequential in Philadelphia sports history. Let's start with Dikembe, and let's just go right to the pinnacle moment of Dikembe in Philadelphia. Well, technically, it might be the next game with game one of the finals. But let's get to game seven, Eastern Conference Finals, a monster game that day as the Sixers beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And Dikembe and Allen Iverson were big reasons why. Just an exhilarating moment. I mean, it really is in the history of us as a town. And obviously, that's the last truly great moment the Sixers had. I mean, that in 01, game one. Phenomenal. And I think a lot of people might not remember this, but I will never, ever, ever, ever forget it. You want to talk about a great game in a big spot. Game seven, you're either going to the finals or you're done. Game seven, Dikembe, 23 points, 19 rebounds, 7 block shots.
Jeez.
That's a studly performance.
It was insane.
23, 19, and 7. God bless him. Look, an all-time humanitarian, major role obviously coming from Africa to Georgetown, from Georgetown to the NBA, about 10 years into his career to the Sixers, controversial trade, Theo Dikembe, back and forth, what was right, what was wrong. Bottom line is, he laid his heart on the line as a player, he was a good dude, and he will be missed, and we would certainly welcome your phone calls this morning on Dikembe and his legacy. Now let's get to Pete Rose. So it's like, all right, how do you cover the Pete Rose thing? By the way, Brandon Graham in about 5 minutes with us. How do you cover the Pete Rose
Very
thing?
Carefully.
Here's how I think. The best way to cover it, I think, is to just give you a sense. And look, we could play 5,000 pieces of audio, but we're going to give you a couple that encapsulate some of the big moments, positive and negative, of the Pete Rose thing. It kind of reminds me a little bit when O.J. died, and we're playing audio of O.J. with the 2,000 yards. We're playing audio of O.J. in the white Ford Bronco with the blah, blah, blah. Look, there's no murder here with Pete Rose, okay? Let's go there. But here's what it is. It's an American success story. It's an American tragedy. You know, I mean, Richard Nixon, Lance Armstrong, P. Diddy, Barry Bonds, you know, there are stories that are both a success and a tragedy. And I think it's fair to say Pete Rose was a success and a tragedy. Let's go back, and this is pretty late in his career. He comes to Philadelphia when he's 37 years old. So he's already old before he gets here, has already won two titles. His impact on the 80 Phillies, obviously immense. It was his second year here in Philadelphia. And second to final out of the World Series, Pete Rose with one of the most important plays in Philadelphia history.
It's popped up. Boom. Rose. They'll have a play.
Listen, incredible. And obviously the next pitch and the next out, Willie Wilson, Tug McGraw. Phillies win the World Series for the first time ever in their 98th year of existence. Now let's fast forward about a half a decade. He's now with the Reds. He's managing the Reds. He's playing for the Reds. He's chasing Ty Cobb. Hit number 4192.
2-1 pitch from Shouse.
Of all the records that I have seen broken, I didn't see Hank Aaron beat Babe. I wasn't old enough. Of all the records I've seen broken, to me, that was the single most exciting I ever saw. Single number one. Because it was like so out there, and it took so long. Now, Cal Ripken's is up there, don't get me wrong. But like when Bonds finally beat Hank, it was a disgrace.
McGuire.
McGuire's up there. McGuire's up there clearly. Now, looking
hindsight
back.
Hindsight changes
correct.
It, but I'm talking
in the moment. That's a big one as well. All right. So you have that. So he's got that. He plays for like another year or so. Ultimately, now just a full-time manager. Just a couple years later. This is after the 30-game suspension. Couple years later, Bart Giamatti lays the hammer down.
The banishment for life of Pete Rose from baseball is the sad end of a sorry episode. One of the game's greatest players has engaged in a variety of acts which have stained the game. And he must now live with the consequences of those acts. By choosing not to come to a hearing before me and by choosing not to proffer any testimony or evidence contrary to the evidence and information contained in the report of the special counsel to the commissioner, Mr. Rose has accepted baseball's ultimate sanction, which is lifetime ineligibility.
Of all the things that have happened in sports, it was one of the biggest stories and most shocking things, certainly for those that didn't know, that we've ever seen. I mean, for those that are young, I don't even know how to describe to you what a big deal this was.
And we didn't know what we, like, we about people. No, I'm saying period. Yeah. Like, we know so much more about athletes and stuff now.
Sure.
And the behind the scenes stuff back then, it was like, what?
Yeah. We're way more connected today.
Yeah.
So you do. But and no, it was insane.
And you got to remember, this is only 70 years after the Black Sox scandal when a World Series had been thrown because of betting. So this is no small thing in baseball. All right. So he's out for life. Except he can go for reinstatement. Giamatti dies. That whole thing spirals.
A couple days later?
A couple days later.
That was crazy.
Giamatti has a heart attack. Yep. The whole thing's unbelievable. So let's fast forward like another decade. Because he's still out. He hasn't gotten back in. He's voted in into the baseball all-century team. It's 1999. He's on the field for the first time in a long time. This is only a small portion of the confrontational sequence with Jim Gray.
It seems as though that there is an opening. The American public is very forgiving. Are you willing to show contrition, admit that you bet on baseball, and make some sort of an apology to that?
Not at all, Jim. Not at all. I'm not going to admit to something that didn't happen. I know you get tired of hearing me say that, but
with the overwhelming evidence that is in that report, why not make that step with this opening?
It's too much of a festive night to worry about that. I mean, because I don't know what evidence you're talking about.
Sign a paper acknowledging the ban. Why did you sign it if you didn't agree to be banned for life?
Yeah, but it also says I can apply for reinstatement after 1 year.
It's just the whole thing. Like I said, American success story, American tragedy. And again, we could play so many pieces of audio, but let's round it out with this. Because then years later, finally, years later, Pete Rose said this.
For 14 years, your case has hovered over baseball. Did you bet on baseball?
Yes, I did. And that was my mistake, not coming clean a lot earlier.
You're now saying, for the first time, publicly, yes, I bet on baseball.
I bet on baseball in 1987 and 1988.
Did you bet on your own team?
Yes.
It's an unbelievable, and again, guys, that's just a morsel. I mean, we could go into the last 5 years, the stuff that came out, you know, about back in the day in the 60s and 70s. We could talk about how the Phillies were about to put him in the Wall of Fame, and then they didn't. I mean, we could go through all of it. Bottom line is, it is an immensely major story in the history of American sports. And, you know, John Pete Rose, I mean, listen, I was around him a couple times. I found him fascinating. I found him smart. I found him unwise. I found him crude.
I thought the crude.
But fascinating guy.
That crude adjective is one. You don't hear that very often to describe pro athletes.
You know what I thought he was, John?
They get polished somehow during the process.
Here's what I thought he was. I thought he was uncivilized in a civilized world.
That's really interesting, and I've heard that from a lot of other people.
But like, he was also smart. Feels... It was a weird dynamic. Yeah. And I knew he was a baseball savant.
Strange.
All right. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.